Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM. A River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click River Talk. You get Dimitri 5 days a week, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, Dimitri live and dangerously local. Thursdays and Fridays, Dimitri Encore and dangerously local. Stephen Novotny, 5 days a week, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, here, this music is getting annoying. All right, thank God it's gone. All right, so short notice, I had an opening, a guest opening for Wednesday morning. That would be today. And I thought, who could I get? Oh, my God, of course. Great friend of the show. Consummate, professional, articulate, knowledgeable, funny, entertaining, absolutely terrific person. Reached out to him and said, hey, can you come on 8 o'clock and let's talk, let's have some fun. He said, well, no, sorry, I can't. So I reached out to Matt Bruning. He is the spokesperson for the ODOT, Ohio Department of Transportation, press secretary. Matt, thanks so much for being our plan B and for joining us. We appreciate it greatly.
Well, I'm glad I was plan B and not like F, G, or H.
Well,
that was good.
So. I was trying to clean it up a little bit, but I'm glad you could join us. Okay, you're a recovering broadcaster. You're the press secretary for ODOT, Ohio Department of Transportation. I'm actually a very big fan of ODOT because I drive the roads in Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and ODOT is light years better than those two other sorry states when it comes to their roadways. I wanted to get you on here for a number of reasons. The most important is, of course, the Belmont Buzz, which gives me an opportunity to actually play our official Belmont Buzz jingle here.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Why should you want to know?
What's happening with that damn Blaine Hill Bridge project? When is that ever going to be finished?
Well, we've got some work to do here ahead of that. So what we have been doing is sealing up different openings within the bridge where bats, birds, other animals can potentially get into the structure. And that will allow a contractor to begin work without obviously interfering with any of those inhabitants potentially.
Okay.
So that is done, and now we're in the point where we're selling the contract. So we're looking to award the contracts to a bidder and get a contractor on board and get work going, and that should happen very, very soon. And so obviously once we get the bids, we'll be announcing that and, you know, let everybody know who the winning contractor is, and then we can, you know, work on a schedule going forward from there.
All right. Now, there was a misunderstanding that one of the bats wasn't in the bat species was an endangered species. Turns out it was not. But what other animals make their homes there on the Blaine Hill Bridge?
I mean, there's birds, anything that can make a nest up there. Obviously, we don't want to have to, you know, move those items when we're doing work. So, like I said, they were, you know, kind of sealing up any areas where birds or bats might you know, build a home, and that way we're not getting in their way, and we're being as least intrusive to Mother Nature as we can be, certainly with the project. We want to do that. We want to be mindful of nature and the environment, and also mindful of getting this thing replaced and back open as quickly as we can.
All right, so what's the timeline now? It's going to be put out for bids, and bids to do what?
So the bids have already been, you know, we've already put it out for bid. We've gotten some questions from contractors, and they're submitting their bids, and then we'll open those bids, assess them, and award the lowest and best bid to get the work done. And that will happen here very soon. And then obviously once we get that contractor on board, we can work with them to get project going as quickly as we can. There's some repairs that have to be made. Obviously, we want to preserve the historic nature of the bridge, and they'll do that. It's not, you know, demolishing the entire thing. We've got to work mainly on the deck, and that's where the bulk of the work will be done, and get that done as quickly as we can, and we'll have a more firm schedule once we get that contractor on board.
All right, so you say you're going to determine which contractor very soon. We're talking the end of May, the end of June. What are we looking at here?
I believe it is sometime here in the next couple of weeks. I don't have the timeline right in front of me, but I believe that I'm in April or May that they were going to have the bids completed and everything, you know, buttoned up to where we know who's going to do the work and for what price. And then we'll have a schedule we can share with the public after that. And, you know, what we've talked to the contractor and say, here's the scope of the work that needs to be done. You know, obviously we want to get it done as quickly as we can, but we have to make sure that the contractor can do that and that can be done safely and obviously to good quality. We don't want something that we're going to have to come back in a couple of years and fix again. We want them to do it right and get it done to where this bridge will be in service for decades to come.
So as of now, the completion date, we can finally start driving across the Blaine Hill Bridge again is when?
I believe it's going to be sometime next year. Again, I don't have the schedule right in front of me. I'm on the road this morning, but we have accelerated it tremendously, if you remember.
Yes.
From, you know, when we first started this conversation several months ago, we were looking at, a couple of years to get this done. We've been able to accelerate things, dramatically over the last couple of months. And so I think people will be pleased with the new timeline that we have here for it.
Yeah, and the acceleration, I don't want to take all the credit for that with Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local, because that would be wrong. But it is true, though, that the more public pressure ODOT got, the more it was encouraged to move up the completion schedule, get it done sooner, because you were listening to the people of Belmont County going, Jesus Christ, you got to fix this thing sooner than that, right?
Well, yeah, and we never were looking to, you know, draw something out. I mean, we were always looking for ways that we could, you know, work with a contractor to adjust the schedule. You know, could we design this element this way so that would make it go quicker? You know, our folks were always looking for ways to shorten the timeline, and certainly I think they get a lot of that credit as well, is that, you know, yes, we were hearing from people that were saying, you know, we want this project to be done quicker, but I have yet to find any project in the state of Ohio that ODOT performs, or probably any local government performs, that people are like, you know what, take as much time as you need. Everybody wants their project that they are affected by done quickly and quicker. And so if we can find a way to do that and accelerate a project, certainly we will. And that was the case here. And you see that the end result is obviously able to get that project done on a much more accelerated timeline than we were, say, you know, 6 months ago to a year ago. We had this conversation. It had been a much different timeline. But again, a lot of hard work by our folks working with the other state and local officials. We were able to shave a good portion of the timeline off and get things accelerated faster. And so I think that is something that everybody is pretty proud of.
Sure. One other thought to increase the likely to make it to open sooner. I've read that in different parts of either America or different parts of the world, Germany, Italy, wherever, that sometimes when a government is building a roadway, major roadway, sometimes they work around the clock, 24/7, three different crews like you would have for mining, or two different crews for fracking, 12 and 12 or whatever. Round the clock work for the construction. Does ODOT do that? And if not, why not?
So we do in some situations. It's obviously going to depend. One, is the contractor equipped to do that? Two, do the residents who live nearby mind that? Are they okay with that? I mean, I think there would be a lot of people that, you know, if I drive on a roadway and that's my roadway I take from my home to my work, yes, I want them to work 24/7. If I live right next to that roadway, I might feel a little differently about that 24/7 work.
Well, not for this bridge. Here's my thought, Matt, and I'm not busting balls or anything. I'm dead serious with this, because I have read different, you know, that there sometimes that is done. ODOT does that. Why not have this project, the Blaine Hill Bridge, be worked on 24/7, round the clock? I am absolutely sure that everyone living near that bridge would actually welcome it, because it would make this go that much faster. Is there any hope that we can get the contractor to work around the clock 24/7 to finish this project in a few months?
Sure. Yeah, no. So 24/7, probably not, but I do believe that they did work with the contractor to come up with a longer work day. I don't know the exact hours off the top of my head, if it's two shifts and how long those shifts would be, but I do know that they will be doing more work than just, you know, 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or something like that on this project. That is certainly going to happen here. So again, we're doing everything we can, working with the contractor once we get them on board, continuing to do things that if we can, you know, shave a day, shave a week, shave a month, whatever the case may be, off the timeline, certainly we're never going to stop trying to do that. Now, obviously, there are a lot of things that can happen with any project, whether it be weather, whether it be equipment issues, whether it be, you know, you get up in there and you start taking things apart and you find out that, you know, the conditions were worse than you thought, and you're going to have to do more work to get things repaired. I mean, all of those things can happen on a project similar to this. And so, you know, things can adjust both forward and backward. So I just want to set that expectation with folks. But we're going to do everything we can, working with the contractor to do everything they can to make sure that this project gets done safely, quickly, and in the best condition possible so that we have a bridge here that everybody can use for a long time in the future.
Right. What about the historic designation? There was some sort of issue with a national historic something or other rigmarole, and that was going to delay all of this. What is the latest with that?
So we, you know, we're preserving the look and feel of the historic look and feel of this bridge. It will still have the big arches. We are not, you know, demolishing the bridge and starting anew. This will use a lot of the elements that are in good condition with the bridge, or in fair condition, maybe, that we can bring up to a good condition, while also addressing the parts of the bridge that have some serious structural deficiencies, hence the reason it is now closed. So, you know, I think that has gone a long way towards allowing us to preserve that preservation. That helped with the timeline as well. Again, this is not something where, you know, you'll look at the final result and go, that doesn't look like it did 20 years ago. This will be a nice, modern bridge, but look like the historic bridge that we've all come and love since the 1930s in Belmont County.
That is great. A live exclusive interview with a great friend of the show, Press Secretary for ODOT, Matt Bruning. More with him. Oh, by the way, I forgot to ask. Got a short break coming up here. Wanted you on at 7 o'clock, but you had to take your kid to school. Is that the little Hellion, or was that someone else?
That was one of three. I had three I had to get to school. Two to an elementary school, one to middle school. So it was a busy, busy morning.
My goodness gracious. Did you get them all there in time?
They were all delivered safely and on time, so my wife will be happy when I get home to know that she can rely on me to get the job done.
Excellent. I was very concerned about that. Although, would it have killed you to just make them tardy for one day so you could have been on at 7 o'clock in the morning? It would have made my life a lot easier, quite frankly.
I mean, I'm sure if I talked to the school principal or something, we could have arranged that, but I would have been late to work, and it dominoes from there, and that's just not good.
It's so. Not always about you, Matt. It's not.
No, you're right about always that. About I've been you. Told that a million times already this morning.
I can't imagine. All right, more with a very special guest, Matt Bruning. He is the press secretary for ODOT. He is a great guy, recovering broadcaster, worked at some of the finest radio stations in the nation, a lot of them actually in Ohio. More with him about the rest of the roadways now with ODOT and what's the use of having speed limits when nobody follows the speed limits on our interstates, and so much more. If you care about driving, if you care about your vehicle, if you care about our roads, have I got a great guest for you. More with him next.